Reggaeton may rock the house, but will it move product? It's baby boomers who have long been the nation's biggest consumers, so when advertisers want to sell something, from orange juice to electronics, they've tended to rely on oldies like these.
I've got to admit, it's getting better.
But advertisers are beginning to change their tune because, as Slate columnist Jack Schaefer notes, while still the largest single generation, the boomers are steadily dying off, or at least going to pasture. He says, quote, they peaked as a percentage of the population in 1980 at 35% and currently stand at about 27%, or 77 million self-absorbed individuals. But sooner or later, the post-boomers will give them the necessary nudge, push, and shove to sweep their rotting culture from the scene. It may seem like the boomers have ruled the culture forever, but Schaefer says there was a moment when they seized power, though people may differ on exactly when that was.
My friend Glenn Garvin, who's now the TV critic for the Miami Herald, said it happened in the spring of 1977. He was in his mid-20s. He was lounging at home on a Sunday afternoon, and a coworker, his same age, called him from the news desk at the Austin American-Statesman, trying to write a headline for a drought that had been visiting the Austin area. So he called Garvin, and he wanted to confirm the lyrics to the Temptations' 1967 hit, I Wish It Would Rain. Glenn proceeded to confirm the lyrics, and he wrote the headline, Sunshine, Blue Skies, Please Go Away. Well, it was a fantastic headline, and the editor expected a commendation, a raise, or at least a cup of coffee on Monday when he came into work. Instead, his bosses yelled at him for trivializing the front page of the Austin American-Statesman with rock and roll lyrics that no one would get. Glenn thinks that that was sort of a turning point for him. After 1977, he started to spot all sorts of boomer references to boomer culture, boomer movies, boomer rock and roll, boomer lit everywhere. And the boomers have basically stayed in the driver's seat ever since, I think.
I guess I peg it to quite a bit later. I remember saying to myself when Jay Leno took over for Johnny Carson, now is the time for the boomers. But by then, I guess it was well underway.
Yeah, I think you were a little late to the party. But...
So then, are now the post-boomers finding a voice?
Well, the post-boomers are trying to edge their way in, but as you know probably from looking around your newsroom, boomers don't want to retire, don't really want to go anywhere if they have any positions of power, and so they'll probably have to be shot and drawn and quartered and dragged out and buried in shallow graves in the Sonoran Desert before we're rid of them.
But in the meantime, as the post-boomers find a voice, we're finding examples of crossover. You note the Lee Iacocca Snoop Dogg Chrysler commercial. So what does that say about the battle between the generations?
I think it means that post-boomers have to go deeper into post-boomer culture to get a hold of references that post-boomers aren't going to get. I mean, boomers are omnivores. They'll glom onto the World War II generation's culture if they think that they can milk it. So what I think will happen is it'll be when you're on vacation, Brooke, and somebody in their late 20s, rather than somebody like you who in their late 60s, does these segments. And all of a sudden there'll be references, I think, to some of the generation's favorite movies. As much as we may be cinemaniacs, when we were growing up, we were never able to see our favorite movie 5, 6, 7 times in one day. The way that post-boomers are. So post-boomers have seen movies like The Breakfast Club.
Come on, answer the question.
Don't be a jerk.
It's easy. It's only one question.
No! I never did it!
Or Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Bueller. Bueller. Bueller.
Heather's Dazed and Confused, to cite a new movie, Napoleon Dynamite.
If you need to use any of my skills, I can do whatever you want.
Thanks. If I win, you could be my secretary or something.
Sweet!
They'll see these movies over and over and over until they sort of carve spaces in their brains. And I think they'll dig real deep into the dialogue of these movies and references to these movies to just blow us away with headlines we don't understand.
Well, you see, I guess that's the problem. The baby boomers want to stay young. They also have DVD players. So I can quote the entire dialogue to The Big Lebowski and even Ferris Bueller's Day Off because I like those movies. So is it a question of whether or not I get the reference or whether the reference is designed for me to get and not somebody younger?
I would say that you would probably not be so good on references to video games and rap music.
Right.
There's a popular old school Nintendo game called Contra,
mm-hmm.
and every post-boomer knows the reference up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, start, which is how you get to the sort of cheat page of that game to sort of master it.
Right.
Every post-boomer is going to know that. Or they'll know dialogue from Grand Theft Auto. And as on top of the post-boomer culture as you try to be, you just don't have enough hours in the day to master it.
When you address this in your column, you threw up to your readers the question, what post-boomer reference in a mass media headline or TV commercial will signal the cultural coup? So what did you get? And you left out Seinfeld, Saturday Night Live, REM, maybe The Simpsons.
I didn't include any of those cultural touchstones because they are too shared by boomers and post-boomers.
Mm-hmm.
But where the post-boomers can go that the boomers will never follow is when they engage in their slang, words like chewy or crunk or crashy, things that you couldn't even begin to define for yourself, Brooke. One of my readers, Elizabeth Tarski, suggested that we'd see a lot of headlines that contain content that might be drawn from IMs or text messages.
Mm-hmm.
The shortening, wanna, gonna, need to, and abbreviations like OMFG, which would include some of these censored words that we can't say on
mm-hmm.
the radio.
Or LOL, laugh out loud.
LOL, but LOL, I think, is, you'd find that in a Dilbert comic strip. So gong, that would not include, Brooke.
Fair enough.
I got a lot of mail on this with suggested headlines. The one that was the most frequently suggested would be some variation on all your base are belong to us.
Right.
Do you know what that means?
Actually, I did receive that in the mail about 3 years ago, and I know it relates to some badly translated Japanese video game.
This is famous. You can find websites devoted to this mistranslation. So I think a lot of readers had a great faith in video games being this sort of cultural well that post-boomers could constantly draw from to sort of go, nya, 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 we've taken over.
All right, Jack, late bro. I'm outie.
23 Skidoo.
Jack Schaefer writes the Press Box column.
You see us as you want to see us. In the simplest terms, with the most convenient definitions. But what we found out is that each one of us is a brain.
And an athlete.
And a basket case. A princess.
And a criminal.
Does that answer your question?
Won't you come see about me? I'll be alone, dancing, you know it, baby. Tell me your troubles and doubts. Giving me everything inside and out and...
That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Megan Ryan, Tony Field, Jamie York, and Mike Vuolo, and edited by Brooke. Dylan Keefe is our technical director, and Jennifer Munson, our engineer. We had help from Katie Holt and Kevin Schlodman. Our webmaster is Amy Pearl.
Catcher Rogers is our senior producer, and John Keefe, our executive producer. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. You can listen to the program and find free transcripts, MP3 downloads, and our podcast at onthemedia.org, and email us at onthemedia@wnyc.org. This is On the Media from WNYC. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
A basket case.
And I'm Bob Garfield.
A criminal.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org. The W.K. Kellogg Foundation, from vision to innovative impact, 75 years of philanthropy. And the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation, online at mott.org, supporting efforts to promote a just, equitable and sustainable society. Support from the media comes from the Bidell Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio. This is NPR.
Thank you. I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.